time to bring in the master of disaster, Mike Gozzi. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Well, the Rangers fired their coach and GM.
Yeah, maybe they should get rid of some players, too. Yeah,
John Davidson thrown out the door. I always liked John Davidson as a player.
John Davidson's a good hockey guy. He turned around hockey in St. Louis, but he can't turn around hockey in New York.
Yeah, well, it's amazing when you look at it. But anyway, so they're out the door, and I think the Rangers are now in the midst of wrapping up this incredibly great season of a four-game losing streak. Just a sad story.
Just keep betting against the Rangers for the rest of the year. You'll make some money.
No, it's true. It's amazing, but oh well. At least I got my one Stanley Cup while I was alive.
That was almost 30 years ago.
I know. I was 37 years old.
Amazing, right? 1994 is a long time ago already.
Oh, gosh. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Well, anyways, there's that. I have to touch on Aaron Rodgers. What is it with Green Bay and quarterbacks where things just go really, really kablooey and crazy?
I don't know. I don't get it. I mean,
look at Brett.
I think that what it is the quarterbacks actually know more about the game than their management does. And I don't mean that in a tongue-in-cheek type of way. I mean that for real. I mean, Favre kept telling the Packers what they need to win, and the Packers didn't address it. They always needed a running game. They didn't get it. And they only won one Super Bowl for all the things that Favre did. Same thing for Rodgers. I mean, he tells them what they need to do, and they don't do it. So, I mean, wouldn't you ask? A good manager asks his coworkers, how can things become better? Well, but I guess in Green Bay, that doesn't work.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers did make it plain that first of all, they got rid of one of the receivers he liked, but then it's just interesting to see that the last two great quarterbacks in Green Bay have to go out like this. I mean, it's.
It happened when Brady left New England for Tampa. They get a Super Bowl. And if Rodgers has moved into the right situation, maybe New Orleans, they'll win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to see. I like the Green Bay restaurant that has offered Aaron Rodgers free burgers and beers for life if he stays.
You know, the fans are right. They were right with Favre. They shouldn't let Favre go when they did, the way they did it. And he went to Minnesota and led them to a championship game. I'm pretty sure Rodgers is going to be the same thing if they're dumb enough to let him go. And this time, they don't have a person like Aaron Rodgers in the background to step in for Favre. So there's going to be some lean years going back to like the Lynn Dickey years of Green Bay coming up if they get rid of Rodgers.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I know of probably three teams that would love to have Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, there's more than three.
But three that, I mean, it would have, I mean, Denver Broncos would definitely like to have him. Like you said, New Orleans, there's no doubt about New Orleans would definitely want to have him.
You can go right down the list. Let's start in the Northeast. Will New England take him?
Yes. Absolutely.
Would the Jets take him? Yes. Would the Giants take him? Yes. Would Carolina take him? Yes. Would Miami take him? Yes. There's a whole lot of teams that get the yes check mark in it.
It's just
because automatically you're a better team.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's just unbelievable. We'll
see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe
your nose to spite your face. It's right there.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. All right. Albert Pujols was cut by the California Angels. I mean, Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, he was released. It's time. I mean, he's on the back year of his big contract. He's going to get paid. He'll get picked up. He'll definitely get picked up by somebody. He'll finish out this season somewhere. The Angels will pick up most of the contract, and he'll play somewhere. Then if put in the right situation, he'll help. So, my opinion, the Mets should pick him up just for a clubhouse presence because they don't have one. The Mets have no clubhouse presence. You can't have a clubhouse presence with a pitcher. You have to have a clubhouse presence with an everyday player. The Mets don't have an everyday player that's a clubhouse presence. They may have thought they were getting it with Lindor, but when the guy's hitting $1.25, he can't really say much. I think the Mets should pick up Albert Pujols just for that reason alone.
All right. How about that guy for Baltimore that threw that no-hitter the other day?
Did it count?
Yeah, because it was full
nine-inning.
It was full nine-inning games, and you know why it wasn't a no-hitter? I mean, a perfect game. The catcher on a strikeout let the ball get by him, and the guy reached first base.
That's two of them this year. Like, I mean, with ridiculous ways of losing it. A backdoor slider hits a guy in the foot when he doesn't move, and the catcher drops a third strike. That's pretty sad. Hey, I got to drop a third strike. Can I drop a third strike?
Yankee fans. Yeah.
Can I say the word that sounds like duck but starts with S? Can I say that on the radio?
You can say that, sure.
The Yankee fans suck.
Yeah, they
really do.
They're babies.
Because the way that they acted with the Houston Astros just shows their stupidity and ignorance. That was awful. If what happened 3 years ago still bothers you, first of all, get a life. Secondly, let your team beat them. Let your team talk for them instead of dropping F-bombs at the decibels of an airline engine throughout a game. Absolutely horrendous. How would you like to be sitting in the stands gratefully because they're allowing people in New York with your five-year-old daughter and she gets bombed with the F-bomb for nine innings of a baseball game? How would you like that?
It's stupid. It's just plain stupid.
And I would say it was Yankee fans or Cub fans or whoever. But Yankee fans are notorious for that, and they flat out suck. And if you don't like it, send your letters to the radio station. I'll read them and respond to them. Absolutely no reason in sports that fans should do something like that. If you think that rattles the other team,
it doesn't.
They're professionals. They're not little 12-year-old kids playing in high school. They're professionals. It doesn't bother them. You're going to see writers say, oh, you could see it got under. It didn't get under their skin. What happened yesterday? They won. And who did they beat? Garrett Cole. There's the Astros' answer to the Yankees.
They didn't beat him.
Yankee fans. Larger than any F-bombs you can drop.
Yeah, but Cole.
Them beating Cole answers you.
They only beat him in name. He didn't. They didn't take the lead when he was pitching.
They didn't lose the game when he was pitching either.
No, but all I'm saying is he didn't get the loss. He only had two hits against him when he was pitching. But anyways, the Yankee fans are stupid. They're crazy, and they boo Altuve. And what does he do? He comes out, hits a 3-run home run in the middle of it all. So you're right.
It doesn't affect these guys.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yep.
They're professionals. If it affects them, then they shouldn't be professionals.
Yeah. Now I want to go back to baseball. There's actually been three no hitters this year already.
Two perfect games. Three no-hitters and two perfect games. Two perfect games within like a little more than a month? That's amazing. But that just, it shows you the state of baseball. Like I said, I think I said the other day, in the first month there were over 1,000 strikeouts. 1,000 strikeouts. That's pitiful. That's absolutely pitiful. 1,000 strikeouts. Wow. And the hits to strikeouts ratio is minuscule.
Yeah. Well, Judge yesterday finally got off the 0 for 7 strikeouts in a row. Yesterday.
Yeah. Give him a big contract. Go ahead.
All right. What racing is coming up this weekend?
Belmont. We got a couple races at Belmont this weekend. Back to some decent racing. But again, you have to deal with the no Lasics, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it all the time. It's a guessing game, folks, so you got to do your homework even more to see what horses respond without Lasics. The sixth race tomorrow is the Bouguer Grade 3, 1/16 on the inner turf. Excuse me. Allergies. There's going to be no great shakes here. The 1, Harvey's Little Goyle, and the 5, Civil Union, the two favorites should battle it out. if you want to go somewhere with an upset, the 4 Platinum Painter, who's 20-1, has speed. He's going to make the lead. Maybe he'll stick around and split these two horses, but it pretty much looks like a 1-5-5-1 exacta. And for a little variety and for hope, you can use the 4-horse Platinum Painter. That's the 6th race tomorrow, around 3:30 on Saturday. The 7th race is the Grade 3 Vagrancy, 6.5 furlongs on the dirt. New York's getting a little bit of California-itis. These stakes races, there's There's not a lot of horses in them. The Bouguet, that race only has six. The Vagrancy only has seven. A couple horses I'm looking here in the Vagrancy. One is the five horse, On Her Honor Way, H-O-N-O-R. Coming off a layoff in September in the grade three, this staff ran third, got beat less than a length without Lasix. So this horse is a horse you have to come back and use, and I think that horse might have the best chance of all to win. Another horse you have to use, but you have to roll the dice, is the three-horse Victim of Love. Never run without Lasix. Will sit off the pace. Ran a good race the only time this horse ran at Belmont, and it just happens to be last year's Vagrancy that it won by a length and a half. So, in my opinion, Honor Way is the horse to beat, and if you want to make an exacta, bet the three-horse Victim of Love and cross your fingers and hope the horse can run without Lasix. The ninth race is the Peter Pan, which is and used to be the prep for the Belmont for horses that haven't been on a Kentucky Derby trail. And again, only six horses line up in this race. A one-turn mile and an eighth. This is the ninth race on the card. Goes off about 10 after 5. Six horses in the race. The six-horse risk-taking is the big favorite for Chad Brown. I'm not going that way. I'm going down on the inside. The one overtook, coming off a little bit of a layoff since February, with some nice works down at Palm Beach Downs for Pletcher. This son of Curlin should appreciate the one turn, mile and an eighth, has run one good race at a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct. At 6-1, I think this horse is a use. But my top horse is going to be the two horse, Nova Rags. Ran second in the Sam Davis, had some issues in the Florida Derby, running fourth in that race. Working out real good again at Payson Park in Florida. I'd like Nova Rags to take home the Peter Pan. So the two horse Nova Rags, the one horse overtook him, my two plays in the Peter Pan, and both have run well without Lasix. The one horse overtook never ran with Lasix, and this horse Nova Rags has run good four times without Lasix. So we'll see how it plays out. I think there's a little rain in the forecast, but I don't think it's going to be enough to make a difference in the track conditions tomorrow.
All right. Well, I want you to have a good weekend, and I hope you have a successful weekend as you had last weekend.
Well, can't. There's not big races like that. You can't make a lot of money in six-horse fields.
All right. Well, have a good weekend anyways.
You too, guys. Take care. Have a great one.
Take care, Mike. Mike Cossey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.